Good day and welcome to the Atomic Fitness Podcast. I'm your host, James Sutherland, and with me is producer extraordinaire, Jason Hewlett.
Yeah, we're actually back.
We're back.
Yes, like, we're not dead. We're just, not, you know.
Just like the Men in Black or Lethal Weapon when, you know, boys are back in town.
Oh, yeah. And that sort of stuff. We're back and we're lethal. Or the magic is back. Wasn't that the Lethal Weapon 2?
Yeah, I think that was Magic is Back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we might be overstating our talents, but hey, you know.
I think we are overstating our talents by a long shot. We are not Gibson and Glover.
Well, that's a good thing, I think, in some cases.
Well, some would think so.
Yes, especially, yeah. Anyways, moving right along. Ironic we bring that up, Lethal Weapon, movies, because that's what, about 18 weeks ago we said, it feels like 18 weeks, we said we were going to cover off a fun episode today with a kind of a mutual top five turning into top 10 list of training sports related movies. Your top five, my top five.
Yeah.
Things that involve training, working hard, exercise, teamwork, whatever sort of concepts fit in both of our heads revolving around those kind of topics.
Yeah, which we thought would be different because we're both, aside from being, I wouldn't say fitness aficionados, but we do like fitness. Like, yes. You have a job, career out of it, and I just like being healthy and not dying young.
And not,
yeah, right?
Yeah. Good choice.
But we're also movie fans.
And very
when
much
we're
so.
Training, we're usually talking movies on the, while we're training or between sets.
Oh, did you see this? Oh, did you see
that? Yeah, and TV and all that kind of stuff. So that's why we thought, yeah, why not? Like, why not merge our two talents
and
three talents?
We have so many talents.
Many talents.
Imagine the number of podcasts we actually could do if that no one would listen to.
If we had time.
Yeah.
Because that's why it was delayed in doing this episode for, what, 3 weeks? Because we're just very busy.
Yeah.
It's also your 40th episode, by the way. Lordy, lordy, look who's 40.
Anatomic Fitness Podcast.
40 weeks, at least.
Yeah, well.
If it was 40 years, we'd both be dead.
Oh, thanks for the positivity there. And there's a dose of positivity for your morning or afternoon or evening. Whenever
it is Monday, you know.
Here it is, indeed. So.
Do you want to go first?
It's your show. You go ahead and lay out your first one.
Oh,
first
one.
These are not necessarily in order.
No, no, it's varied.
Overall top five or so.
Okay, so one that I was going to go with, and it's funny how a lot of mine ended up in the realm of boxing. But I think Rocky Balboa, I mean, all the Rocky movies highlight, there's always a training sequence of some kind. And I mean, the one of the ones that people really remember is Rocky IV, of course, with the old school training in the snow.
And if you watch the new version that Stallone just spent during the start of COVID redoing, the director's cut version.
Oh, yeah.
It's 1,000 times better than the crap that he unleashed the first time.
He admits that, too.
Yeah, right. And there's a documentary on the making of that one.
Yep.
The making of the director's cut. And he's sitting there watching it while the guy's editing and stuff. And he's just like, oh, my God, I can't believe I did that. Oh, my God. How vain was I? Oh, my God.
Right. Know? Well, and he was back then. He admits it, right?
Yeah, and it's great. So that's, if you have the chance, sorry to cut you off there, but watch the Rocky IV director's cut. Try to hunt down the documentary. It's about an hour long. And it's just a guy with an iPhone 12, a buddy of his, recording him in the editing room, going through the movie and him explaining why he did certain cuts and why he's changing them. And it's, if you're a dork like us with respects to movies and how they're made and how directors and editors do their process and go through all their mindset whilst making the movie they actually want to make, it's remarkable.
Yeah. Oh, and I've heard that. I've even seen interviews with Stallone where he's talking about the whole process and how he's looking back at who he was then and how he thought then and who he is now. And with the wisdom of age, he's just like, oh, that was bad.
Makes total sense. So anyway, so is there a Rocky preference?
Yeah, I go with Rocky Balboa. I like it isn't as training focused, but I thought it was because of how the Rocky movies went.
Yeah.
They became very cartoonish. This took it back to kind of the beginning.
Yeah.
And I find it interesting just as a, because he's an older man then. Like, what was Stallone in his 60s when he made
late
that?
50s, late 50s? Early 60s. Yeah. And that just was Rocky VI, essentially.
Rocky VI, essentially. Yeah. But it just brought it back to that grounded bit. You know, and having then taken up boxing after, you can see how he made it more believable, the training, especially as someone, you know, there's the one scene I really like where he's working with his trainer and he's talking about, you know, you got calcium deposits on your knees, you've got this, you're just not as quick as you need.
His hands were
all messed up. Yeah, so we need to just work on some hurting bombs. Like, just every punch has to count. And I just, all that plays very real.
Yeah.
And I think it's just an exceptionally well done movie to begin with. It made me like the character again, like Stallone again.
Totally.
And I just really appreciated how it was grounded.
It totally. He could have gone on, even though it was, you know, far too old to keep boxing professionally as in the Rocky world, that rejuvenated the character so much. I think that it really could have, you could have believed, okay, man, maybe you can do one more fight.
Yeah.
But yeah, just because, yeah, again, it goes right back to my, one of my top choices, which was the original Rocky.
Yep.
Right back to that deep grounding, that busting his ass, the underdog who was, didn't have a hope in hell. And he just worked and worked and worked, and it didn't seem to matter what was in his way, whether it was chickens or not, or frozen meat. He was gonna go through it. And I love the dynamics with him and Mickey and him and Polly.
Yes.
The buddy who is a jerk, but who actually in Rocky IV comes full circle as they're walking out to the big fight with Drago, and he's like, if I could step out and be anybody, I'd be you, Rock. And it's just that their relationship, I think, is almost more important than him and Adrian in some respects, just because of the evolution of it over time. And yeah, so Rocky is my choice. It's just one way I've watched it. I don't know how many times. Well, so to keep it with the boxing theme, but
it holds up too.
Brilliant. Yeah.
Right. Even though it's a 70s movie, it's still the themes in it hold up, and the character and all that. It's just very believable. And it's something I can't wait to show my son when he's kind of just a little bit older and more interested, less interested in the blowing of stuff up.
Yeah, fair enough.
Right? And yeah, more into just a good story.
Both of my daughters were 26 and 13 when they were about 7 or 8. I had them watching it first. Girls are different. They're a bit smarter, a bit more. They're cool to
still
just sit back and watch a show if it's like, hey, this is really good. This is why. Okay. And she, as soon as the first Rocky was over, my youngest was like, there's another one, right? Can we watch it now? It's like, you know, 11 o'clock. It's Friday, whatever it was. It's like, okay, sure. Like, I'm not going to say no. You want to watch Rocky all night?
Sure. We'll watch all of them. We'll back to back to back.
Yeah. You know? And then she ended up liking it so much that when Creed came out, we had to go to it in the theater. And then Creed 2 came out, we had to go to it in the theater. And those are both great movies, too, that could probably be subcategories on this list. Too,
oh, for sure.
So, all right. So that was Rocky Balboa and Rocky. What else do you got?
Well, I actually have Creed. Because by then I had been boxing for years, right?
Yeah.
And they actually, that was, I think, the first Rocky movie where the guy's wearing, like, Stallone's wearing the body.
Yeah, the body.
Body belt.
Yeah.
And they used to just saw more training in an actual boxing arena. And it was just more believable. Like, it was, again, it continued that grounding that started with Rocky Balboa.
It was an evolution of Creed, too. How he was just that clumsy-ish fighter and arrogant.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, and then he got his ass whooped here and there, and then
he became more serious about it.
And then he had to
it.
Push and push Rocky to train him, and it was...
It just, it was perfect. It was that perfect continuing of the, not only the Rocky character, who is now older, you know, and we saw him in a different place in life, you know, reluctant to get back, even to do anything related to boxing, you know, helping this young fighter. So you watch this young fighter evolve. And I, you know, anyone that gets into boxing who wants to fight, you are cocky because you think you can do it.
Yeah.
You have no idea the work that's really involved. And it's a lot of work for, like, even just one bout. And you saw all that in this movie. And I just really loved how it was done.
Well, and I loved when Rocky went into the Mickey's gym that was all, like, worn down and torn down and dilapidated. And he still goes walking in there, and he just stands in the gym there.
Yeah.
It's all dark and dusty. And it's just, it was such a tonal movie in that respect that you felt for him. You could feel, you know, if you're a big Rocky fan, you could feel everything when they do those little flashbacks of all him training in that gym and stuff. You could totally feel it if you're a big Rocky fan. Like,
oh yeah,
we both are.
So. Oh yeah, and even just the use of the music, like bringing that original Rocky theme back. I get chills now just thinking about
totally.
It. Like, it's just, it's awesome. It's such an emotional movie. And I was a Rocky fan, but wouldn't say I was like the huge, you know what I mean? Like, I wasn't religious about it. But seeing Creed made me more into one because it just you felt that legacy.
Yeah.
And that legacy could even continue on with a different character as the focus.
Yeah. Yeah, and right. It's like a passing of the torch.
Yeah.
And now there's still talk about another Rocky movie. I don't know.
It's like Stallone. So
he'll go until he cracks right in front of the camera one day.
Well, he kind of, I think, because he's in his 70s now, and I think he's realized the things that people appreciate him for.
Yeah.
You know, and he can look at it with, again, the wisdom of age, right?
And that's what that documentary on the remake of Rocky IV really showed. You saw him, the character of him and what he wishes. He actually said in that he wishes he wouldn't have killed Apollo in Rocky IV. And he's like, and then who knows what the next one. Rocky V wouldn't have been Rocky V. He's like,
no.
It would have been nothing like that had I not killed off Apollo.
Oh, yeah. There's so much that could have been done.
Yeah.
Right.
So All right, well, to step out for a moment,
yes,
from boxing, we're going to go with my favorite sport, football, and a relatively brand new movie with Zachary Levi called American Underdog.
Oh, yeah, I've never seen that. Is it good?
It's about Kurt Warner, the quarterback from the Rams, that came out of nowhere, came out of the Arena Football League playing in a barn, to starting one his first season in the NFL and winning a Super Bowl all in the same year, and MVP.
Wow.
And out of nowhere. And the guy, he was completely underrated out of college. He played at a small Division II college. He had a great arm. He had all these abilities. He could throw on the run like nobody. And this movie, Zachary Levi, is about the same size as Kurt Warner, who works so well. And he's a brilliant actor. And I just watched it. And I thought, oh, okay, sure, I'll watch it. I wasn't a huge Kurt Warner fan when I was, because he, you know, usually kicked the tar out of my team. So I was a big fan of him. And a couple of my buddies are, you know, the Rams were their favorite team. So they always rubbed Kurt Warner in my face. But I just watched it and I just, at the end of it, I was like, holy, that was just, there's a lot of religion in it, which isn't always my thing, but it's done enough that it's not overbearing.
Yeah.
But you just see that it's his faith and his belief and his wife's belief in him is what pushed him through to just keep going and keep going. And even when he got brought into the NFL by the Packers and he got cut on the first day. Mm-hmm. Because one of the coaches wanted to put him in and into a drill, and he's like, I just got here. I don't know what's going on. He's like, okay. And then he got called into the office, coach's office, and got cut. Same day. He was all excited. He bought a green truck and everything to Packers. Yeah. And then boom, gone. Then he was out of the league for like 5 years. He's the youngest rookie oldest rookie in NFL history. And he wins the MVP and the Super Bowl in the same year.
That's pretty wild.
And just the story is just brilliant. And the acting is brilliant. And, you know, I know Kurt Warner was an executive producer of it too. So it's not flamboyantly exploited and they didn't change much. It's his story.
Not as much BS as it could have been.
Yeah, which makes it very heartwarming and very inspiring. And there's a lot of training, but it's football-focused training. It's him throwing the ball always and not giving up. And that's, to me, very important aspect of, as we've talked about on the show plenty of times, of life.
Yeah.
Pushing through even when, you know, the big brick walls are being stacked up against you. He just kept going until he got over them.
That's awesome. I'd like to see that. I would like, and I like Zachary Levy.
Yeah, he's
really good.
He's good.
Yeah. I mean, he went from like Chuck,
yeah,
TV show Chuck, to Shazam. Like, and, you know, and then he does a movie like this.
And he's in a Broadway play.
Yeah.
Where he sings.
Really?
Called She Loves Me. And he's brilliant. And it's like, holy crap, that's Shazam?
I read it?
Yeah, he's this, and it's set in like the 30s, and he sings and dances, and it's like, I can't believe that's him.
But that's
awesome.
He's
brilliant in that too, and that really wrapped it up for me that, man, this guy can do pretty much anything at this point. Kind of like Hugh Jackman can,
oh, yeah,
can go up carving people up and then sing songs and dance.
Yep.
All in the same year in Logan and Greatest Showman. Like, that takes some skill.
That does. That really, really does. And that's the old school kind of performer who can do everything, not just a movie star.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what you kind of want. That's awesome. So that was your second choice.
Yeah, Rocky, right, and then American Underdog.
So my third is actually going into a football movie.
Excellent.
Because I, too, like football. I was trying to... I'm going to say there's not a hockey movie on this list because I just... It's really hard to translate hockey into film. I tried. I really wanted to put a hockey movie on it.
Yeah, me too.
But the closest I could come to was Goon, which is not really a hockey movie.
It's like a Rocky hockey movie.
Rocky hockey movie. So, but I'm going to go with Any Given Sunday, the Oliver Stone movie. That I think that's probably one of the best sports movies ever made.
It is, yeah.
It doesn't matter that it's like 2 hours and 40 minutes. It's not boring.
It's worth every millisecond. Yeah.
It's so, Al Pacino, I think that's the last time Al Pacino was really good. Because after that, that's when he was starting to fall into the caricature moments, but he was just really good at Dennis Quaid. The first time I'd seen Jamie Foxx in anything worthwhile.
Man.
Yeah. You know, Cameron Diaz, who usually sucks as an actress, was really good.
Really good.
The whole thing, and there's a lot of time spent not just with the games, but you see a lot of the training that goes on. So you learn a lot about just football, you know, and just what it would be like to be on a football team. Have someone go from like a nobody to a superstar overnight and how that affects their personality, and then they have to kind of come back down to earth to play really well as part of a team.
So if you're going to sit back and watch a couple of these movies back to back that we're referencing, if you watch, to your point that you just made, the guy go from nothing to a superstar overnight, you can see the difference in what Oliver Stone's dramatic interpretation of that's like and see what the American Underdog Kurt Warner story was like.
Yeah.
And how, yes, you can go from nothing to a superstar overnight and how you handle it makes all the difference. Because that's what happened to Kurt Warner. He went from nothing to a superstar in 1 year, and he didn't go crazy like Jamie Foxx's character did.
Yeah.
But a lot of guys do.
They do.
NFL fan fears, and you see that exploitation of them, and they just get big, especially now with social media. It's even worse than.
Yeah.
Like, they could remake Any Given Sunday and throw in the social media aspect, and it would be crazy.
That was already 1999. So, we're going back to when, I don't want to think how long that was.
Too long. But yes, I agree. Any Given Sunday is one of my favorite but most disturbing football movies. I have a few friends that played in the NFL and CFL, and a couple of them said, well, it's not quite that bad, but yeah, it's close.
Yeah.
It's not that far off. And they played in big cities Philadelphia, New York, and LA and stuff. And they're like, yeah, it's not too far off, but.
Oh, no.
It's a little, but of course, taking some dramatic license there.
Oh, yeah.
But man, it is, it makes it a little scary.
Well, it doesn't even because, I was a journalist for 10 years, and my desk was right near the sports department. So just, sports guys and hearing about what they had to put up with and deal with, dealing with these teams and the management. So that was a neat angle, too. And I forget the actor's name. He's really good at John C. McGinley.
Oh, yeah.
Is the one. He was great.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the fast-talking
sports guy. A few former NFL guys in that movie, because it's Lawrence Taylor, who plays the shark guy, who's the guy who gets hurt right at the end, the defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's Jim Brown, one of the best running backs in history of football, is one of the coaches.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they're involved with it too, and there's a few other guys in there too, but those are the two main ones. So the fact that they're involved with it too, they knew what the end product was going to look like. They must have been kind of,
yep. Just,
yeah.
Or given input on along the way.
And we're in it, so yep. So yeah, that's a good choice. I agree. We'll keep with the football theme again because I'm a dork. Rudy.
Rudy.
And a lot of people laugh at Rudy. Or like, oh yeah, Rudy. And yes, they definitely took some creative license with Rudy to a point. But the fact that the interesting fact is that they didn't bring up in the movie was, at the end of that movie when the team's coming in to put their jerseys on the coach's table because, dress Rudy for me. The actual fact was that Joe Montana was a backup quarterback. Well, he had started at that point with Notre Dame. And he'd been hurt, and he couldn't dress that game. And Rudy dressed in Joe Montana's place.
Oh, wow.
For that game. So I think it would have been more dramatic the way they did it, that every player on the team was going to give up their spot for Rudy. It would have been a lot less dramatic than, just new starting quarterback got hurt, so we have to pull him, and let's put Rudy in. That would have been a little less dramatic.
Yeah.
But that's the actual fact of it. But for me, Rudy, again, kind of goes to the Rocky theme, except it's a true story. Right. And yes, he wasn't a star, and he came in and he made the one sack and got crushed on the other play. But, it's again, that perseverance, that the fact that he came on as a walk on and he was tiny and just, Samwise Gamgee.
You was going to say the Hobbit. Right?
So he got tossed around and beat up, but he just kept going and kept going and kept going. And you don't have to keep going like that and end up as a superstar. But you gain respect from your teammates and your coaches for the fact that you get drilled, your helmet's turned sideways on your head, and you get back up, straighten it out, and keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be done, you can directly relate that to life when you get the wind knocked out of you and you get knocked down, you get back up again, the tub bumping. But it's the same thing. Like when you do that, sometimes you have to get up, give your head a shake, get yourself straightened up, and then keep going. And that's, to me, that's what Rudy is all about. It's not necessarily about the football and the guy who, came on, made one play against Georgia Tech, and oh, look, it's wonderful, and it's a great story, and they carried him off the field. It's more that, you keep getting, life keeps kicking you and knocking you down, and sometimes it seems like there's no end in sight. But then there's that little doorway that opens up, and as long as you're keep getting up, you can get through the doorway.
Yeah.
So that to me, what Rudy is about. It's not about the training, it's about the heart.
Yeah, which is, we've talked about it for the last 39 episodes, how important your heart has to be into what you train, any kind of training.
Believing in yourself, yep.
Yeah, and believing in yourself and kind of keeping your mind, body, and balance through that.
Exactly. All right.
That's a good one.
Number,
four.
Four for you,
Dragon, the Bruce Lee story.
Oh.
Because
it's
Bruce Lee. And he is.
And we're done. That sums
that one up. Yep. Martial arts. It's his life. Obviously, there's some liberties taken, but his wife was heavily involved.
Yeah.
In the making of the movie. So, it's a classic. Jason Lee, who played Bruce Lee, no relation.
Yeah, no relation.
I thought was really good. It's just, yeah.
He was, yeah, he was, I don't, again, that's another movie I too have watched a 100 times probably. Yeah. Especially when it first came out and you just rewind it because that was back in the VHS days.
Yes, you had to, right?
You have to watch it again because, yeah, it was so good.
Bruce Lee's kind of, even though he only had technically one real fight before he kind of went into the movies, he's just so synonymous with martial arts philosophy, life philosophy,
the training, of, how you train. The Tale of Jeet Kune Do is an amazing book, and the philosophy, yes, philosophies that he has, and Be Like Water.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you haven't looked it up, if you're a younger person or some older person who for some reason hasn't ever been interested in Bruce Lee, give your head a shake, and... Google some of, or go, you know, go on the Bruce Lee websites and stuff like that and read some of his philosophical quotes, because they're just, they make you think. They're not, you know, some of them are pretty straightforward, but some you actually, I like, because you have to really dig into them. How does he, what does he mean by that? And, you know, if you can wrap your head around it, they're brilliant.
Well, they are, and that's the whole point of it. He takes that Eastern philosophy, which is something, it's not usually direct.
No.
And it makes you ponder. I think more so than any other philosophy, religion I've ever come across.
Yeah.
Right? You just really makes, but it all works and it all is applicable.
Yeah, to life in general.
Yeah. But
yeah, I agree. That is a brilliant movie. Going back again to football, surprisingly. kind of a corny one, but again, a true story from Disney, and it's Invincible.
Oh, yes.
With Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
About the football player from Philly who went and did a walk-on when Dick Vermeil took over as head coach in Philadelphia for the Eagles, and the Eagles were absolutely all sorts of dreadful. And he went out and he was the only one that made it to the practice squad. Then he made it to, and he played in the NFL for 3 years. And he was just some bartender at a bar and a teacher, I think, a substitute teacher. But he just loved football. And he was fast, solid, you know, tank of a man. And ironically, years later, his son ended up playing in the NFL too, for a short time. So, you know, it's kind of cool. Vinny Papale was his name. And again, it's similar to Rudy, true story of a hardworking guy who just loved football and that was his passion. And even though he thought the dream was out of reach and it was just not going to happen, out of nowhere, Vermeil calls in this open tryout for an NFL team, which never had happened before and never has happened since. But it gave him an opportunity. And, you know, when you talk to the universe, when you feel that sort of thing and you are just looking for something, it can often provide. And that's exactly what it's out of nowhere. Let's do this. And he does a tryout, makes the teams, starting on special teams, and just makes a tackle on one of his very first plays on a special teams kickoff. And it's brilliant because, again, it's that heartwarming story of someone who just didn't want to give up and kept going and was quote unquote invincible. And he just pushed through and endured all the trials and tribulations of life and all the, you know, BS where, you know, you're too small, you're never going to make it. And, you know, all the negative talk from outside, and he just kept going. And again, it's nice because it is a true story. It's not one that they had to, there's nothing to really fabricate in that. It was like, yeah, he went to the tryout, he made the team, he played in the NFL 3 or 4 years, whatever it was, and then retired. And that's fine.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant story. He got to play in the NFL. Not a lot of guys do in the grand scheme.
No, they don't. They sure don't. And so it's neat to hear see those stories.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, and it's Mark Wahlberg when he was, a little bit younger. And he was getting, his acting chops were starting to form a bit better. So it's, you know, it's not exactly a brilliant performance by him. But Greg Kinnear plays Dick Vermeil, and he's spectacular. And ironically, he's the same coach that coaches Kurt Warner in American Underdog. Different actor, but Dennis Quaid plays him in American Underdog, but it's Dick Vermeil in both of those movies.
And another brilliant actor.
Yeah. Dennis Quaid, so it's quite interesting to see, oh, look, you know, two great underdog type stories, and Dick Vermeil is the coach of both NFL teams. So that's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. Nice.
All right.
Number five. And this is very unconventional because originally it was just movies about training, is what we were talking about when we first came up with the idea.
Yep.
The Empire Strikes Back.
Perfect. And that's the show for this week.
Luke, there's a lot of that movies about Luke training to be a Jedi.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of it, and it's got physicality, because, yes, you know what I mean? It deals a lot with philosophy.
Mental
work. Overcoming demons, like the whole bit where he goes into the cave and Vader's there and all that. So, I mean, it ticked all the boxes for me.
It does.
And that philosophy, a little bit of philosophy built. And there's no There's do or do not.
There is no try.
You know,
and it's that's the best Star Wars movie of them all, anyway. So
I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
Brilliant choice there.
Yeah,
we could probably spend a whole half hour talking just about that movie. So, okay, my last choice stays on the field, but it's the other shaped ball. It's not soccer.
Not soccer.
It's rugby.
Rugby. You don't see a lot of rugby movies.
Invictus.
Oh God, yeah. Yeah,
Morgan
yeah.
Freeman, Matt Damon, South Africa stuff, and it's. It's an amazing, amazing story, and it's, again, a true story, you know, about the South African rugby team and Nelson Mandela just getting out of prison, taking over the presidency of the Republic of South Africa, and he, you know, he's got all these other political things he has to focus on, and the racial issues going on, the apartheid, and all that kind of stuff, and yet his focus, to a lesser degree, was on getting the South African Springboks, the rugby team, to win the World Cup, which... they had no hope of doing. You know, so he brings in Matt Damon, who was the captain of the team, and they have this talk, and he, you know, he ends up sending him a handwritten version of Invictus, the poem, to help inspire him and the team, and then yeah, blah blah blah, they go on and they beat the New Zealand All Blacks, who are the most scary rugby team in the history of the world, and they beat them at home in the Rugby World Cup, and when they really had no hope of doing so at the start of the season.
Wow.
And again, you got Morgan Freeman in there, so you're done.
Didn't Eastwood direct? Is that a Clint Eastwood?
It's just magic. It's a brilliant movie. It's, again, it's just over 2 hours. You don't have to know or understand anything about rugby. You just have to, and you don't even have to know much about the backstory. What I've told you is enough. Just sit back and you can just watch. It's just brilliant because they're working hard and they work as a team and they come together, and some of Matt Damon's little mid-game speeches while he's, you know, all bleeding and scarred and got his mouth guard in, and he's yelling at his teammates and stuff in their little huddles, and they're just little, but you can see the intensity in his delivery, and it's, yeah, and it's a brilliant movie, and it's incredibly well done, and again, Eastwood directed, Morgan Freeman, Matt Damon. It's a really heartwarming movie, and again, it's a true story. I like those. You know, when it's something that's like, it's great when it's a far-fetched, oh, well, cool, that's it, but that doesn't happen in real life. A lot of these of mine happen in real life.
Yeah.
And so I just find that to be a lot more inspiring when you can look at somebody like, hey, well, look what that guy did, or those guys, or that woman, or whatever it is. But yeah, Invictus is a brilliant movie, and it's definitely worth a watch. And again, it's not incredibly well-known, and you don't have to know about rugby. You don't have to be interested in rugby to enjoy that movie.
Well, I think all the movies we've kind of talked about, even like with Empire Strikes Back,
of course,
it's a bit different. But even with the sports ones, none of these are you have to be a sports enthusiast about to enjoy.
No,
right? Like it's just you just like a good story.
They're all the sports stories, movies like this are all just metaphors for life, really.
Yeah,
you know, sports are just games, and yes, some people get paid millions and excessive millions of dollars to play them, but. You know, there are all these, and that's the great thing about sports is there's all these interwoven stories about that you can directly, without even thinking too hard, directly correlate to life.
Yeah.
And how you can persevere and push through things, or how you can help your friend who's going through trouble. Hey, you know, I've done that more than once. Suggest something to someone who I know, a movie that I know might help potentially get someone a little straighter and make them think a little differently. And, oh, I like that actor. Yeah, I'll watch that. Sure. And they're like, oh my God. You know, it's brilliant. I've mentioned Invictus to a few people along the years, and everyone that, you know, men, women, children, that doesn't matter, enjoy it because it is such a great movie, as most of these are.
Yeah.
If you just take it for a deeper meaning of what's there rather than, oh, look, they're glamorizing football or whatever sport it is, or boxing. No, it's not about that. It's about the life stories of these people involved, whether they're true stories or fictional stories. A fictional story still comes from someone's heart and someone's mind. So, you know, it's a great
representation. Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. People who write, embrace it, even if it's a fantastical story, and we talked about that about in the reading episode, even if it's a fantastical story, it comes from somewhere within somebody.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. So. And so everything is a true story in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Even Star Wars.
Of course. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far.
Right?
You don't have to look that far to find me. You can just look James Suds on Instagram or Anatomic Fitness Training and Coaching on Instagram.
That was a brilliant segue. I'm going to be honest. That was... Right? You pulled that one out of somewhere.
Right? And that's it. I'm done. All right. Well, I have no idea what we're going to cover next week. We'll have to talk about that while I go and whoop you right now.
All right.
And so for Jason.
And for James.
That was me. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, you said
thanks. For James, right? Yeah, yeah, gotcha. Okay, right. Yep. Thanks for listening.
You really pulled something coming up with that segue.
It blew a couple of fuses, so I got to go get another coffee. All right, we'll talk to you next week on the Anatomic Fitness Podcast.